Councilman Mike Driscoll, and I represent an area that hugs the Delaware River from Allegheny Avenue up to Bucks County. Oh. So I have a big district. A lot of waterfront development. We're and a big fan of Parks and Rec. We actually have the trail, the Riverfront North Trail, that I've been working on when I was in the private sector 20 years ago. And it's about 80% complete, where you're going to be able to bike and walk along the Delaware River. It's really nice. It's exciting. Yeah.
That's nice. That is. Nice view.
I can't wait to get on a bike when it's finally finished and go all the way to Center City and back. Oh, yeah. I'm waiting for the spring. It's so cold out.
Yes.
It says spring, but I don't know where. I don't know what happened there.
How do I start?
So what made you, do what you want to do? Like, was there something that inspired you to do what you do?
It is. So when I was in high school, I was on student government. And
student government.
Yeah, and that kind of, you know, got me attracted to public service. And so when I went to college, I studied English secondary education, and I began as a school teacher. Then I decided to go back to graduate school, and I got my master's degree in government administration, and was fortunate enough after grad school to be offered a job in Governor Casey's administration. And so I moved to Harrisburg and lived there for 8 years. And that's really what instilled a lot of the public service values in me.
So if I want to do public service, what advice would you give me?
Be active with your community, you know, volunteer, you know, in areas that you're attracted to, and get a good education.
Always your dream to become a council?
You know, that's a good question. Elected office was on my mind, even as far back as high school, because I had volunteered on a state senator's campaign, and I liked what that state senator was doing and how he could impact public policy. So what office? Not any specific office, but definitely elective office was on my mind.
So do you think that, like, looking back from when you first started to now, do you think, like, the things that you accomplished were things that you wanted to accomplish?
Yeah, that's a great question.
That's a good question.
So I've done a lot, but I'm sure I haven't done enough, and that's why I'm still here. I'm so excited to be part of the Mayor Parker's administration, working with the first female mayor of the city of Philadelphia. Four of my five children are girls, so women in leadership is really important to me, and I hope through my policies and my advocacy that I'm going to make her the best mayor the city ever had.
I got one more question. So what advice would you give somebody that's wanting to be in politics and be in, like, the government and stuff?
Yeah, I think just what you guys are doing now, learning how to interact, learning how to interview, getting a good education, volunteering in your community, helping Parks and Rec become the best Parks and Rec in the country. Yeah. And I think we're on our way.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know, we know what, one thing we did fund last year as a city council is more cameras at the recreation centers, mm-hmm. so that we have, I mean, you don't want to worry about going to your local Parks and Rec and worry about safety. Mm-hmm. So we want to make sure that we have a safe zone that certainly your school and certainly your Parks and Rec should be places of a sanctuary where you can feel safe and you can recreate and make new friends and breathe our fresh air.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, like, with all the gun violence going on, are y'all, like, going to do anything about that?
Boy, it isn't it sad? I mean, that's that incident last week where those boys shot the people that were, all they were doing was standing on a bus stop. When I was in the House of Representatives, I had introduced legislation to get rid of what's called ghost guns. like essentially you could go to, yeah, you can go to like a gun show, mm-hmm. and if you buy a gun, you'd have to register it. But if you bought three different parts and went into your car and assembled them, you don't have to register it. So you have all these illegal guns on the street. Mm-hmm. And what was sad for me is when I introduced that bill 8 years ago, the Republican legislature would not even let us bring it up for a vote. Wow. I mean, how do you do that? At least let us debate it. Let us discuss it. Let us say why you're for it or why you're against it. But the Republican leadership would not even let us put it on the calendar. So, yeah. So we still have work to do. It's a problem. It's a really big problem. And we're going to need your generation to respect guns so that, if you own a gun, have a gun lock. Make sure your gun is locked. And certainly don't be bringing it to school. And make sure you have a license to carry. Follow the rules. Follow the rules. Yeah.
So, like, for our generation, what do you think that we can do, like, to try to make a difference?
With regard to gun violence?
Yeah.
I think what we're doing right here, talk about it. You know? And
but how would y'all start that awareness? Like, they probably can't see what we're doing in here, so we just start it out there.
I feel like people don't spread awareness because it's here.
I feel like it starts in schools. I would say, because all these issues and problems, they come from, like, all this conflict, it comes from emotions that just people don't understand. So I feel like it starts with learning those skills and how to handle and how to communicate properly. So it never even escalates to that. Because a lot of people in these situations, the first thought is just, oh, they said something wrong, let me do this. So, I don't know, I just feel like that's the best thing to start off with.
Conflict resolution, mm-hmm. Yeah. And that should be talked about in our high schools.
Yes.
You know, you need an outlet. Not everybody has a great home life. Like, I was fortunate. I had a mother and father that, you know, kept me on the straight and narrow and listened to me and my brother and my two sisters talk about things. But not everybody has that. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, they need an outlet. And they need good friends that talk them out of bad decisions. Mm-hmm. You know, the community that cares about them. Yeah. That's why Parks and Rec is such an important component of Philadelphia. We need these recreation centers to go to so that they have somewhere positive, not just hanging on a corner.
Yeah.
Or...
because you fall into, like, what your community is, to be honest with you.
Yes.
Yeah, and you don't want to be, like, making a name for yourself by doing bad things.
Yeah.
You want to make a name for yourself by doing good things. Mm-hmm. And that's why I'm proud of the four of you for being engaged with your community and working real hard to further yourself. Because we need your generation to take over for old guys like me.
Let me get you on design.
Last two questions, y'all.
Okay.
Make them good.
Doing a little wrap around.
No pressure.
No pressure, make them good. Okay.
So, like, what about all the messed up buildings? Are y'all, like, going to go fix them?
So I just got appointed by Council President Johnson to be the chairman of License and Inspection. And we are in the process of hiring more inspectors to go out to the buildings that are unsafe. And we have a program that's going to rehabilitate these buildings and put them back either on the tax rolls or make them safe.
You have a question, Rennie?
No, I don't.
Alex, you got one question for us?
We were talking a little bit before you came on camera about Parks and Rec. Mm-hmm. So you want to ask a little bit about impact of Parks and Rec on the city council person's life there?
I think they talked
about Parks and Rec.
A little bit.
Well, let me just tell you my experience. If it wasn't for my recreation centers, I grew up in the Oxford Circle section of Philadelphia. If I didn't have that as an outlet, I'm not sure I would have been on the path I am now, because it gave me somewhere to go. I made a lot of friends, played baseball, basketball, football, And a lot of those friends I met in the neighborhood at the Parks and Recreation Center are still my friends all these years later. So anything that City Council can do to support Mayor Parker's agenda to rehabilitate as many parks and recreation centers as we can, I'm all in.
So I'll give our little advocacy pitch, which is that we're doing really well on the capital side with Parks and Rec, but in the five-year budget that the mayor just proposed, there's no increase on the operations side. So we have one of the most underfunded Parks and Rec centers, Parks and Rec systems in the country. We spend $50 per person on Parks and Rec operations. Baltimore spends $120 per person. The national average is $100. So the reason, having rec leaders, we have centers which have one rec leader. Mm-hmm. Maybe they have two. And on the maintenance side, we're having the same kind of challenges. So.
Well, it's timely. It's timely because we're in discussions now with the mayor's people on budget priorities.
Yeah.
And, the mayor has said, don't listen to what I say, listen to what I do. So I think we're going to have to hold her administration accountable for spending the money to make sure that we maintain.
You want a cleaner, greener, safer city, Parks and Rec.
What better place to begin? Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
Thank you so much for your time.
I'm so proud of these young folks here. I really-